Each fortnight, this podcast takes you behind the scenes to discover the interesting backstory behind those who are making and have made a success of their careers. What motivates them and their challenges may well give you some ideas for your own career development. Our podcasts are proudly sponsored by ANZIF and their Careers in Insurance Initiative. Here's our host, Mark Silvera.
Thanks for joining us on Business Made Personal. Shanika Sutherland is the Broker Operations and Distribution Manager at BizCover. Shanika holds an honours degree in business and a Qualified Financial Advisor certification from Ireland, and she migrated from Ireland to Australia 7 years ago. In 2023, Shanika won the Insurance Business Rising Star Award. So pleased to have you with us today, Shanika.
Thank you. How are you?
Yeah, I'm really, really good. New year, new start. Fabulous. So I mentioned that you're from Ireland. Let's talk a little bit about that. So give us a little bit of your background growing up. What was it like for you?
Yeah, I was born in England. My dad's from the Caribbean. Mom's from Ireland. After I was born, we lived in England for about a year. Then I moved to the Caribbean when I was about 1.5. And then we landed back in Ireland when I was 3. Story I was told is my mom was homesick, so I know she definitely didn't miss the weather, so I'll believe her. From there, I've been in Ireland my entire life until I moved to Australia. It was fantastic. Dublin, Ireland is where we lived for the majority of my life until I was 13, 14. Then we moved about an hour north into County Meath. That's where I finished high school, or secondary school is what we would call it in Ireland. And then from there, went to Dundalk, which is another further hour up north with all the girls. And we went to college where I did my honours degree. But yeah, life in Ireland was great. I don't think I ever realised how cold it was when you were a kid. You never knew any different. I think it became an issue when you started going on your summer holidays and going away with your family and seeing, oh, Spain's not cold. Turkey's not cold. And then you get that hunger for the heat. But growing up, it was great. Sister and brother were very into sports. I was definitely not into sports at all. I think I wasn't athletic at all. Let's just put it that way. I think if anyone's seen Phoebe from Friends run, I think that was how I was a little bit. But I was always into dancing. They had me in every type of dancing group you could possibly do as a kid. But yeah, it was great. Working parents. My dad was a driving instructor. Mom worked in the local petrol station. Came from a council estate, very humble beginnings. And then when we moved to Navan, my parents bought their first home, which was massive for both of them. It was a really, really nice upbringing that I did have when we lived in Ireland. Yeah.
Hey, I can relate a little bit to that. When we migrated to Australia, we couldn't afford a home or a car because you just didn't have the money. But just going back to your parents a little bit, they obviously got you in, like obviously all of you engaged in a variety of activities. As you moved around, was it difficult for you to develop friendship groups?
It was actually, and I never really reflected on that. When we moved to Ireland, I was in a primary school for a couple of years, and then we moved to primary school. And then I was in secondary school, and then we moved secondary school. I got taken out of a mixed secondary school and put into an all-girls convent, which was challenging to say the least. But my goodness, the friends I made in that school are now all of my best friends to this day. And we all did college together, all went into banking together. But I believe that the last stop and where we moved to is where I got my lifetime friends. I think it was kind of hard to maintain friends when you're chopping and changing schools and then you're an hour down the road. So to keep that relationship was quite hard. But the last stop when we moved to Navan, that's where I gained my friends that I have still to this day. So in the beginning, yes, initially it's kind of hard to make friends when you're quite young and moving. But then when we stopped, it was very easy to maintain them friends. Me and my sister are extremely close. She's my best friend. There's only 3 years in the difference between us. So there's no friend, you've got your best friend, which is your sister, and they definitely keep you occupied.
So let's talk about the transition then from Ireland to Australia. And I can see you smiling. What sort of prompted all of that, Shanika?
There's quite a couple of things, actually. My sister had moved here initially. I think I always I always, from a very young age, knew that I wanted to live in a warmer country. Just the sun just brings me so much joy. I must say it's the small things, like just walking down the road or just sitting on the grass and it's just sunny. The things you just can't buy. It's just a quality of life that I always really wanted to gravitate towards. I always did travel when I was younger. When I finished college, I went and lived in Ibiza for the summer. And I think I've been there like 9 times. And I think every child in Europe has been to Spain or did a summer somewhere in a hot country. And you get to learn about a lot of people. And that's what I wanted more of. I wanted to be in a warm country. I wanted to be around different people and from all walks of life. And it was never Australia. I never knew where I wanted to be. But when my sister and a lot of my college friends moved here, it was the natural place to go. It was, you had that level of comfort with family there and friends. So it doesn't really seem like it's that different. The lifestyle is not that different, except there's 90% sun all the time. I always say if we could put the sun over Ireland, no one would ever leave it and we'd all still be there. Because I do really believe that it's such a beautiful place to live and the people are just amazing. I'm telling you, we're just everywhere. We congregate. We're just always herds of Irish people everywhere. So you're never too far from home and have that slice of home. But Australia was just a natural place for me to go because me and my sister are so close. I think to our entire lives, we probably worked together 6 times. We work together now at BizCover. She's in running the New Zealand BizCover over there, the sales. So, and she got me my job at BizCover when I first moved to Australia. So, that's why. And my partner, he came with me. He thought we were coming for 1 year. 7 years later, he still thinks we're going back. But no, he's gotten used to the dream now. That was always my dream that he said, yeah, let's do it. If you want to go travel, let's go travel. But it's only for a year. We're coming back, aren't we? We're coming back. But I think the parents and the family now have stopped asking us, are you finished with that holiday yet? Are you coming back? And we're like, yeah, one day before. We've settled here now. We love it. He loves his job. He's got a best friend from home that's out here. He's had family members that have moved out here and friends from home too. So that has definitely helped. I think it would be very, very lonely if you didn't have that connection with the people that are here.
Mm-hmm. It's almost like the story of insurance, isn't it? People don't choose to get into insurance, but when they do, they never want to leave it, right?
Yeah.
It's very, very similar. So let's talk a little bit about that. So you get over here, your qualifications and your experiences in banking, and your sister gets you a gig in insurance. What were you thinking at the time?
What was I thinking? But when I first got here, I think I got here the 4th of December, and I was working at BizCover by the 18th of December. I was originally in the bank. Working in the arrears support unit and asset disposal. So it was kind of the bad side of banking where you're structuring bad mortgages and helping people. And I wanted to continue to do that. And I did try and pursue life in banking when I first got here. I was applying for jobs before I got here, but you needed permanent residency and working holiday visas. They can't and won't commit that much learning if they know that there's a bit of an expiry date on, naturally an expiry date on the employee. And that just wasn't the case with BizCover. My sister was there and they just needed people for concierge, which was not even a receptionist. You're only answering the phone. Who would you like to speak to? Sales. Who would you like to speak to? Service. So that was definitely humbling when you think I'm a case manager in the bank and I'm going to go straight into something at that level. And then you start at the bottom. And that was probably a bit of a challenge for me. But I knew it was only temporary. I knew relocating to a completely different country, you kind of have to take a step back and you possibly have to humble yourself and start from the beginning. But I think it was also very rewarding when you do start to see you level up. So it was great that I got to move to a completely different country. And now I'm going and getting the bus or the train to work with my sister every day. So I was very lucky and fortunate.
Yeah.
And insurance was one of the exams I did for banking. So it wasn't too off the cuff, but it was never what I had done on a day to day. I remember hearing the word PDS thrown around and I'm like, what are they talking about? That's how basic my knowledge of insurance was when I first started.
Yeah. And look, you've had a pretty dramatic rise through, you know, if that's where you started in a very, very short space of time. I mean, you won the Rising Stars Award in 2023. What did that do for you?
I don't suppose it didn't do too much for me. It was very, it was completely shocked, to be fair. I kind of like to float under the radar a little bit. I only like to promote my work and the job that I'm doing, not essentially how I do it and how great people think I am. So to be nominated for it and then to be successful in winning it, it just kind of solidified that I might be on the right path in the way that I go about engaging with who I work with and engaging with my team and my colleagues. It just made me feel like, okay, I'm onto something, you know, because sometimes you can feel a little bit of imposter syndrome. Everyone else is a bit smart. Oh, they've been doing it a little bit longer. And I work with quite senior people that have been in this industry a very long time, and I get to benefit from their knowledge. I'm almost annoyingly like a sponge. But that was kind of just you're doing all right, you're doing good, keep going type of award. It wasn't anything that I personally gained from it except just a pat on the back. You're on the right track, which I was really, really appreciated.
Hey, I can resonate with that whole imposter syndrome thing. I've been in the industry 45 years. I still feel like I'm an imposter. So there you go. Hey, let me take you back a little bit to your younger years. Were there people who were major influences, either in business or in private, that you learnt a lot from?
Yeah. I've been very lucky with the people that have come into my life, personally and professionally. Personally, I would say my brother, definitely my dad. My brother, who has since passed, was a professional athlete, complete pioneer, the big brother, the oldest. I was obsessed, absolutely obsessed with him. I wanted to do everything that he did, wanted to be everywhere that he was. And he was extremely intelligent. The work ethic that he had was just remarkable, next to none, something I haven't even seen to this day. It was just his whole character was just a fantastic human being. And I think every time I even reflect, it's just got a massive impact on me, just the way he carried himself in professionally, privately. I think he got a Student of the Year when about three different type of scholarships to go to various different colleges, like extremely intelligent in his professional field as well, extremely successful. And I think when he passed, it was a massive challenge for not only our family, but Ireland, essentially. Like, he was a little bit of a national hero to a lot of people. And the loss was very public in the sense. So trying to privately grieve was just not an option in some instances. So that's probably a challenge, but it's also, like everybody says, I don't think anyone's grief is any bigger than anybody else's. A loss is a loss, and when you lose a sibling, it's just a massive has a massive impact on your life. And I think a parent can also admit, if they lost a child, it's just unnatural. It's not the way things are supposed to go. And when it's also instant and not a like a long illness, and it just happens overnight, I think it just can take you back. And I think grief is something that can really consume people, or you can take it and you can learn from it, and it can propel you in a certain direction. And I try to take that route, essentially, because it can get to a point where it can consume you and overtake a lot of your life as well, if you let it. So that's probably one of the biggest challenges that I don't think I've overcome. I don't think there's such thing as getting over debt. It's just something that you learn to live with every day. And I think the more you share your good and your bad with people, is the more you can actually resonate with people, because everybody has a bit of good and bad, and everyone has suffered a loss or a challenge. And I think that's probably what makes people extremely resilient. And gives them that kind of the fire in them as well. I think it gives you that little bit of grit when you can see both sides of the coin. And people that haven't experienced it are extremely lucky. But there's very few out there that haven't. So I think it's something that we all share commonly, but it's not something that we speak about frequently enough, probably.
Yeah.
That would be a personal one. Professional one might be.
Sorry, just in relation to that, you said something that I really would like to ask you about. You said you can either sort of fall apart or you can take it and do something with it. What do you think you learnt that you've taken forward from that experience? What, because like you talked about resilience, what have you, you know, decided to do as a result of it? Let's put it that way, if I could.
Oh, I suppose you look at situations differently. Your level of care changes. What you put your focus into and what you think was important changes. I think what's really important comes to light. I think how fragile we all are and how short life is definitely comes to mind and is the forefront on a lot of probably decisions you make thereafter. I think you, when I say you can learn or you can't, you can potentially become a victim where you don't see that there's any light at the end of a tunnel and you can't get past it, but you can, because when you speak to people and you share commonality, you realize you're not alone. And also people can learn from you when they do hear your story as well. So I think taking that situation and learning not to sweat the small stuff, because you've probably been through the biggest loss or hurdle or pain you can feel. So I think when you come across small challenges, and I even say that to my team, when we panic at it, an end of month or an end of year, or you've got a broker on the phone or an insurer on the phone, and it sounds like it's the biggest thing in the world. I'm like, guys, this is not life or death. We're not brain surgeons. There's no one on the table. Like, let's try and do our best here, but no one's going to. We need to be at peace with ourselves, and we need to look after ourselves, and just remember on the scale of importance where things are. So yeah, being able to kind of judge a situation and reflect, bring a reflection into a current situation is probably what I've learned from it. Yeah, the most.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense. And then you were talking about the business side of things in terms of people who have, you know, given you something from a relationship perspective.
Yeah. Oh, so mentors, yeah, personally would have been Darren definitely, and my dad. God, he's come across so much adversity in his life. Bless him, and he's just the happiest man ever. Professionally, I had mentors from a very early beginning. When I finished college and did my summer abroad, I came back and started at Enterprise Rent-A-Car. And that was a management trainee program where you had a mentor the entire time. And then when I moved on to banking, my boss, Susan Longmore, who I still talk to this day, and she still checks in to see how I'm getting on. I think a lot of the way and how she managed and mentored me has attributed to the way that I manage people today. It's crazy to be in such a big bank and have such a big team. She still knew everybody's name. She knew everybody's background. She knew everything about their kids, their wives, their lives. Would walk in with a big, massive smile on her face while dealing with so much personally as well. And had the ability to make people individually feel extremely special. And she always wanted people to win. It was never about a them or you or me against this. It was always, we're all going to be winners. There's room for everybody. And I think when you take the competition out of a situation, everyone just wants to thrive, because you're not constantly comparing and looking left and right. And she had that ability to create that atmosphere that I'll never forget. I've never had learning and development like it. And I've never had somebody just take such an interest in wanting to be there in all aspects, whether it's professionally or privately, for everybody. She really gave her heart and soul into everything, but also I found a great balance outside of work to look after herself. She had a great work-life balance as well. I used to call her superhuman. So to me, it was just, and it was very simple, her approach. It was just patience, being kind, caring, asking questions, and just doing the right thing. It was just literally the basics, you know. There's no fluffing about it. So that's what I really, really enjoyed. And I was very lucky then when I came to BizCover. I had initially started where I started, but as I grew up in the business, because I have actually grown up, I've spent a lot of my years at BizCover, and I'm only 32. So to have the co-owners, Michael and Brad, be so involved in the day-to-day stuff was great for me, because I was in a space where they were growing and I wanted to grow. So them being so hands-on, I could feel I was so comfortable just walking over and asking a question. They just gave such great advice, but it was because obviously they wanted to better the company and you as an individual. And you just, if you listened, you got gold. You know, if you really listened, you got gold. And I was very hungry for knowledge. I still am. I'm a bit of a nerd, I'm not going to lie. But having Brad and Michael and even similar women across the business, previous and present, that were there before me and are still there to this day or have moved on, shared great insights, because I'd never had any sort of insurance insight, people management experience, sales targets. Mine was banking and fixing bad mortgages. It was never that route. And I've always had a hunger in me, but it was always against me. I always wanted to be better for myself. It was never I wanted to be better than somebody else. And I think when I went into my role, and when I eventually went on to to take over the BizCover for broker section, it was me on my own in the team at one point about 4 years ago. And there's no one else you can put the blame on if things don't go well or if they don't go right. And I think I was very, and still very am, invested in the success of it. It's funny, people laugh because I say that I feel like BizCover for brokers is my business.
Yeah.
Because it started with a couple of hundred brokers and now we service thousands of brokers. But it wasn't a lonely road for sure. Like, the entire company is very open to giving advice and giving a hand. And I had fantastic mentors and still do to this day within that business and previous ones. So I've been very, very lucky. I don't know if companies that are quite small have that opportunity or, but I've been very lucky where I am previously and presently to have some great mentors. Michael, he only sat at my desk yesterday. I'll just walk over and go, "Hey, what are you up to? How's the family? How are we doing?" So it's when they create that open, safe space, of course you can ask questions. How can we do this? How can we do that? Let's do this. Let's get it done. When someone can create that space for you, it's very easy. But you also want to gain the knowledge. If you've no interest, you're never gonna gain it. People will always be willing to tell you something if you ask a question. I don't know one person out there that's never gone, "I don't have time to tell you."
Yeah. And I guess that leads me to the next question, because many people who are outside of the industry might be a little hesitant to come into an industry. So, you know, in your case, you were in banking, coming into insurance and forgetting just your enclave at BizCover, but thinking about the industry more holistically, how easy or difficult was it for you to get people to help you and support you and, you know, give you the information and the education you needed, do you think?
In insurance, outside of BizCover? Pretty easy, actually. I think there's just so much information out there. There's more information than there's ever been. And that's not even just in insurance. That's in every industry. You can learn to build a house on YouTube. The information is endless. I've been very fortunate in the space that I'm in. My role actually allows me to leave the office every day. So when I go to a broker's office or if I go to an insurer's office, everyone is willing to give you insight. That I don't pretend to be all knowledge. I don't know everything about insurance and everything about a policy wording. I know who might know the answer. So that's where you make your community in, whether it's a broker or an insurer or out there. I think relationship building is massive, because there's going to be snippets of knowledge everywhere. And as a collective, you can definitely work together and get something done. I don't think it's ever a one-man race. So I've been very lucky that I go out and I go to brokers' offices all the time to do platform training, but then I get to learn about their businesses and their challenges they're having in the market that might not have anything to do with our space at all. And then I get to see the other side of the coin, because I'm an insurer tech, so I work with the insurers and we're all technology, but then you don't really know the struggles of the day-to-day user unless you get out there and you speak to them. And then when you're with the insurer after hearing all of the stuff the broker needs, and then they can explain a lot of reasons why they do what they do, you get to kind of be that happy balance in the middle and work with both sides to get a solution. So I've learned a lot from all of the insurers that I work with, especially when you go to conferences. You just need to walk around the room and everyone's like, "Hey."
Yeah.
I'm like, "What do you do? You learn about marine, you learn about transport, all that type of stuff, because that's just not on business insurance. So you do get to learn a lot within the network if you create the network. But you have to put yourself out there. You have to be willing to ask the questions. I think you need to be willing to go to networking events. Some people might not drink. People might find them boring, but you can definitely find something to learn from everything. I truly believe.
Yeah. No, and I totally agree. And I think that networking piece is the one bit that we underestimate how important that actually is in, you know, certainly in the insurance space, but I think in business life generally. I wanted to ask you a little bit about some of the challenges coming out of sort of a banking industry into an insurance industry. What are some of the challenges that you faced in the insurance space, do you think, Shanika?
I think just learning all the different types of insurances was a challenge, but I think everyone, you come into a new role, you learn about it. In my role, learning how to manage people. In terms of insurance knowledge, I think not being afraid to say you don't know. Like, it's okay, because then someone's going to teach you. I never found that a struggle to say, I have no idea what that means. I have no idea what that means. And I think I was very aware that I didn't know as much as I knew from the banking side when I came over to insurance, and I wasn't okay with that. Me personally, I wasn't okay with that. So I straight away, I'm like, get my tier one, get my tier two. I was still used to it coming off the back of college and then going into banking and doing all of the banking exams. I still had that rhythm of studying to get qualification within a job. So knowing if I wanted to really take the broker, BizCover for Brokers, and really elevated, I knew I had to be on top of my game. I knew I needed to know what the brokers knew and the insurers knew. And you kind of have to put the work in. I don't think there's an easy road to any of this. There's no magic wand and you end up at the top. There really isn't, or you'll be found out very quickly. I think insurance is an industry where your knowledge is definitely evident. And it gives you that extra level of confidence as well when you're dealing with various different stakeholders internally and externally. So I was very aware of that. It's not something that you can kind of play around with when you're talking about insurance. It's very black and white. So you really do need to know what you're talking about. So I took that into my own hands and just did my own learning to make sure I had that qualification in the background, but then also leaned on a lot of people internally as well to make sure that I wasn't missing anything, and I was continuously learning. So that was a challenge, but I was up for it. You know, I think it wouldn't be as exciting if there wasn't a challenge with your role. I think when you don't have that level of imposter syndrome or that level of challenge, it might be time to move on.
Yeah,
because you then tend to get quite comfortable. And I can honestly say that hasn't happened to me yet, because I'm in a growth stage and a growth role. So everything is constantly like a chessboard. It's always moving. So I'm still very excited to go to work every day. And really, there's so much more for me to learn in this space that I'm very excited about. So challenge, yes, but a challenge comes with a reward too. So
yeah,
it goes hand in hand.
Hey, you mentioned the magic wand. So if you did have a magic wand, and you were able to change something about the insurance industry, what would you change, Shanika?
They'll probably say I'm not in it long enough to start giving my opinion on that.
Well, I'm interested from someone that's a new entrant into it, right, in terms of and some of your past experiences, but also, you know, your friends and things like that. I'd be interested to know what you think we could be doing better, I guess, is probably a better way to put it.
I think there's a lot of information out there for professionals that are in this space already. But I think when you're not in this space, there's not a lot of information about insurance that the everyday person can just pick up and learn about. I think we should be learning about insurance at a very, very young age, definitely in our teens. It's so important. It's something that everybody needs, but you're never told you need when you're younger. It's just when you're older and then you're kind of thinking, what am I paying this premium for? You don't really realize it unless you're in this space. And I think if it was taught a lot more and discussed a lot more from a younger age, it wouldn't be such a taboo to the younger generation as to what insurance is. And it would be easy for them to come into what various, I want to be an underwriter. I know what a broker is. I know, you know, so they know what that is, and as opposed to, I just fell in insurance and I've landed here.
Yeah.
And I started as an account exec and I was just in a call center and now here I am, that type of thing. I think if people knew about it at a younger age, then it would be in their foresight in terms of what they wanted to be when they were older and what industry they wanted to get into. And we wouldn't all just keep falling into this industry. And I think it comes down to as well, it's the insurance jargon. You know, like there's certain endorsements or paragraphs in a policy wording I could look at and I could read it like five times and I'm like, someone come here for a minute. Does this say what I think it's, you know? So I think we can speak to our audience on their level a lot better. I think that could definitely be improved, because even when you look at the insurance market, there's no one group. It's very diverse. It's they're the people you serve. The SME market, the insurance market, it's so diverse. And that's coming into the insurance market as well in terms of corporate structures are becoming more diverse, gender gaps, they're all starting to change. Thankfully, we still got an awful lot more work to do, but they're definitely changing. I'm a woman of colour in a leadership role in an insurtech space. You know, there's lots of different ceilings that have been broken and I've never experienced any of that myself, but it's definitely still there in the industry and we've got work to do. But if I could wave a magic wand, it would be to definitely educate down a lot more and give a little bit more of an overview of the insurance industry, because it is fun. It is social. Like it is challenging and rewarding. And I know people that have brokerages and their whole family is in it, or, you know, and it gets a really, you've got a really good family vibe about it. If people can really make those atmospheres and environments and also businesses, it's the one I work in, it actually feels like a family. That's the way you can create a culture. So, and that's across loads of different areas of insurance that I don't think people talk about a lot. Yes, you can go to a networking event, but that's not the only thing. Just sitting down, even going to a conference, I see a lot of conferences now allow people to bring their families, which is beautiful. I don't think that side is really talked about as well. But yeah, educating down a little bit more and giving an overview of insurance. You know me, Mark, I could talk for days.
I've got a couple of final questions before I let you get back to work, Shanika. The first one is talking about your job. What's the favorite part of what you do?
No day is the same. I never knew I wanted to be in this industry. I never knew I wanted this job. I still don't know what I want to be when I grow up. Famous words. But, you know, when it just feels right.
Yeah.
It just feels right. I've never looked left. I've never looked right. I'm good on my lane. It just feels really good with the people that are around me. The job that I do, my sister laughed. I always said, I've never known what I've wanted to be when I grow up. And I know what you wanted to be. I said, what? And she goes, you've always said you want to travel and wear heels. I was like, well, that's all I do now. I actually get to travel around to all of my brokers, all of my underwriters, and wear my heels. And I'm at a young age now. I've got no kids and responsibilities. So being able to be in Melbourne one week and Perth the next week and see this country is a dream come true. It really is. I think if you looked at my sick hours or my sick leave, you can tell that I love my job, because they're through the roof. I have never woke up and said, I just can't be bothered. I love it. I'm one of the lucky ones that really enjoys it. So I think the whole role, the girls that I work with, girls and boys now, we just brought our first man onto the team. We're the only women's team. The people that I work with, definitely the environment my job has created, but also the people that I get to see externally. So I get to go out on the road and meet people from all walks of life across this entire country. And it's fantastic. You feel like you've got a bit of an extended family, especially when you don't have your family here.
Yeah.
To have people be so welcoming and make you feel so comfortable in their home and allow you to make it your home has just been kind of a bit of a cliche, but a dream come true. Doesn't obviously come without its challenges, because you miss your family and you're missing milestones and you constantly have that heartache of, am I doing the right thing? Should I be back there with my mom and dad? And same with my partner. It's a constant heart battle. But it's been a very, having this job in this country has definitely helped us be very comfortable and settling here. Yeah, it's been good.
Well, you must have hated COVID because you couldn't go and visit anyone, and no point wearing your heels around the house, I wouldn't have thought.
Look, I did wear the heels. No, I'm messing. I didn't wear the heels around the house. Definitely not. I think it was a lot of cotton elasticated pants for everybody during the COVID time. And we were locked down for 2 years. That was almost the straw that broke the camel's back, where we were like, no, we can't be away from them. That's just too much. But then when we started getting the trips in following that, we're kind of like, okay, well, once we can always visit them one or two times a year, it's okay. And technology these days with your FaceTimes and your WhatsApps, and I'd probably see and speak to my dad more than I would if I was living around the corner now, because you don't appreciate them when they're that close to you. It's when they're that far away. Yeah. Honestly, he can't get me off the phone. He's like, I have to go to work. And I'm like, no, stay there. And so I'm very close to my parents. And yeah, it does come with challenges, but it's definitely rewarding with work and with life here. Yeah.
Brilliant. And what would you say is, speaking of challenges, what would you say is the most challenging part of your role?
I do always say when people say that to me, I wanted to say people management, but it's probably one of the most rewarding challenges I've ever had. I think I found it as a challenge because I had never been a manager. When I started on the Biz Corp for Broker team, it was just me. And then we grew and grew and grew. And you naturally knowing the most, you naturally become the leader, and having mentors like Brad and Michael and Holly and lots of people across the business say, well, this is what I say and this is what you can say. And they really molded me and helped me and really took me under their wing in terms of how you manage people from different ages. I've got people that are 10 and 15 years older than me on the team that I have to manage and have difficult conversations with, to juniors that are, some of their world problems are definitely not world problems. So you're managing emotions and trying to keep a healthy balance when you're managing people. And probably one of my biggest challenges is the way I say that I feel like BizCover or B4B is like my baby or is like my business, is because where I've seen it evolve to. So I get very emotionally invested in my team and my job. So to try and keep that separate is a constant battle for me. I think sometimes emotion can be mistaken for passion as well in these roles. And sometimes that label mostly goes at women, because I don't think ever a man has ever been called emotional. It's definitely always passion. So trying to find that balance is probably one of my challenging things. But I used to say people management, but now that I've kind of honed it, it's probably one of the most rewarding things, because they all share challenges, but they're all very similar. It's just where they are in their lives. But then me not getting sucked in emotionally too much for my own mental health, probably trying to find that separation and that balance is probably it, yeah.
Well, that whole people management thing is, it's an evolutionary process as well, right? If you look at the way we manage people back in the 80s, it's very, very different to how we manage people today. Two final questions for you. The first one is, if you could go back and you could give some advice to that young person who's thinking about leaving the comfort of Ireland to the unknown, if you like, in Australia, what advice would you give her?
Ooh, go for it. Go for it. Get out of here. Go. I think you get too comfortable in your own space with your own people in your own environment. And the best thing I did was ever did was travel, because you get to meet like-minded people from all walks of life, but you also get to learn from them as well. I think don't compare yourself to anybody. We're all in our own lanes. No one knows what's going on behind closed doors. We can all look perfect on social media. What you post is what people see. So definitely never compare yourself. Get out there. Continue to learn. If you don't know what you're doing, are you what you want to do, and you're not sure what your passion is, just keep learning. You'll eventually get to the path you're supposed to be on. Just trust the journey.
Yeah. And the final question for you, Shanika Sutherland, Broker Operations and Distribution Manager at BizCover. If you were to give some advice to someone considering insurance as a career, what would you say to them?
It's not that scary. People, not everybody knows what they're talking about, because I think that's the misconception when you come in. We all know what we're talking about. You could be at any level and we're all still learning. So don't be afraid to ask questions. Just jump in head first and trust your instincts. And just once you're constantly learning, you're always growing. I'll take it back to what I'd say to my 13-year-old self, is just don't compare. It's just so easy to compare yourself online, LinkedIn, social media, everywhere. Just stay in your own lane, continue to grow, always ask questions, and don't be afraid to not be the smartest person in the room, because the smartest person in the room is not always the most valuable. I think you've got two ears and one mouth for a reason. You should listen twice as much as you talk, because that's where you learn. Jump into an insurance. It's fun. There's so many different areas you can possibly get into. It's huge. Constantly keeps you on your toes, constantly changing, endless amount of material to learn from. You could meet friends for life. You could meet your partner, your life partner, and you could go into business with your partner. It's endless opportunities, and it is fun. I keep people hearing people, and I've never heard this until I got to Australia, about insurance is not sexy. It's not. I don't know most roles that are, or most industries. We don't need to make insurance sexy. You just need to enjoy it and love it. That's what I'd say. Give it a go. Give it a crack. Ask questions and keep learning.
Brilliant. Someone once told me that if you're the smartest person in the room, you're in the wrong room. Hey, Shanika, it's been an absolute delight having you on Business Made Personal. Thank you for taking the time to share your thoughts with us.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for lending us your ears. Please remember to click follow on your podcast app or subscribe at bmppodcast.com.au so we can give you a sneak peek of our next guest. Until next time, I'm Mark Silvera, and you've been listening to Business Made Personal.